Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and hey, can you believe we're in the first week of April already? It's here already. I mean, summer, it's right around the corner. It's hard to believe, right? Well, I know for me, living in Houston, the weather is always sunny. 60 gets cold, 80 is hot. But most of the time in the winter, it starts out at 50 degrees in the morning and it goes to 80 during the day. Not a bad way to go. Now, those people on the Northeast, well, I know it's snowing or you had snow and it is cold. And, well, all I can tell you is move to a warmer climate. Now, nah, just giving everybody a hard time. I want to welcome you all to the show today. I'm so excited about today's show, as I am every week, when God allows me to sit down for an hour and show what people are doing around the world and across our country by following the Christian lifestyle, by sharing their miracles in their day, by sharing their stories. You know, a lot of people have stories and they talk about things that don't even realize it's a miracle that's happened in their lives. So we're really blessed to have people on our show that will come on and share their books, share their experiences, and reach people. Now, you got to remember, folks, doing internet radio, we don't know who's out there listening. We know if they're listening on a phone or if they're listening on a computer. We don't know what part of the world they're in. We don't know what they're going like. But we do know that we get responses from people out there saying, thank you. It's been a big help. I know that we get a lot of emails every week from the show talking about the different things that people have touched on them. So it's really important that you understand that if something has happened in your life and you want to share it, well, this is where you need to go. TuffTalkChristianRadio.com and register to be a guest. You can call into our shows every week, 347-989-1363, and press 1 if you want to join the conversation, or just dial into 347-989-1363 just to listen by phone. Maybe you're not in front of your computer or your tablet. So this is a great opportunity. If you're driving, you can listen to it through your car radio by just dialing in on your phone. And you know everything's Bluetooth available today. So this is a great opportunity for you to plug in to Tough Talk Christian Radio. You can find out more about all the shows on the Tough Talk Radio Network by going to toughtalkradionetwork.com. Okay, so I want to touch on something that I've been kind of plugging away at on my newsletter and on my shows. One of the things that I know for sure is that we are here today on April 7th. We got through Easter, we got through March Madness, we got through April Fools, and now here we are on the 7th day of April, back to reality. Now, if you're a business owner, a stay-at-home parent, a corporate executive, or just an employee that's making the world move, I got to tell you, back to reality isn't just something to overlook. It's a very serious spot, because when we get back to reality, we have to recognize certain things. And how hard is that? You know, there's always that great story that appears on the news once in a while, but most of the time it's all gloom. And that's a hard reality. It makes me not want to watch the news. Oh, and then you have the political race. Well, that's exciting. It's taken politics to a whole new reality show. So it kind of gets discouraging. So what do? We fall into social media. We fall into our devices. We forget more about our family being in the room because, hey, they're on social media as well. Sometimes you'll have two children that are in two different rooms texting each other. What happened to conversation? What happened to spending time with your family? What happened to facing realities on the job? Okay. What happened to taking your coworker to lunch or just having lunch with them and having conversation? And not about how bad the work environment is or gossip, just about what's taking place in your world and what you could do to help them. Ask questions. Learn more about them. And then when you get home, ask yourself some questions. Maybe it's on the drive home. Maybe you look in the rearview mirror and take a deeper look. How can you improve what you're doing? How can you get closer to the Lord? How can you be that person that's going to help build that bridge to people that don't know the Lord? You got to be willing to be friendly, ask questions, listen, and be available to help others. You know, we pull up to a red light, we see a homeless person there, we right away make a judgment. Let me tell you how I got past that. I used to be that guy that made a judgment. Way back when I had a remodeling business, I would ask them to jump in a truck and go to work for the day, and they had a good excuse why they couldn't. But there I was again, judging that excuse to whether they were just telling me that or they wanted to stay on the corner and make money for free. I've come to a new reality. Here's my thinking. I give it all to God. And if he makes the red light show up and I stop, that means contribute to what you have. Now, of course, I could not have anything in my pocket or the car, right? Just to play it safe. But I purposely put change in any $1 or $2 bills that are in my pocket from time to time in the little box in my dashboard. So I have money there. So if the light turns red, that means God says give. If the light stays green, then that means God has someone else in mind to do that. Just think, how great would it be if you had something that you could trust? Now, we trust the red light and the green light all the time, right? And every once in a while, someone runs a light and we get hurt. But what if we just trust God? That he said, the light's red, that means give. The light's green, that means someone else that he has in mind to give. Different look. So I did that one day, and I gave away. I only had a $10 bill in my pocket, and I was on my way to lunch to meet someone for a lunch appointment. So, and that was the money I was going to use for lunch, but I had to stick to the rule. So when I got there, I gave them the 10. They were very happy. And I drove thinking, oh, I wonder what's going to happen now for lunch. Well, when I got there, I ate lunch. You know, I kind of forgot about it. And when it came time to pay the bill, you know, I figured, well, I could just use the card that I have for the bank debit card. And, you know, it'll just be a little inconvenient, but I'll do it. The person I was having lunch with insisted on paying for lunch. So I was going to spend that 10 anyways. It went to something important, and I didn't lose nothing from it. Actually, I gained a relationship with the person I was having lunch with. Enough of a relationship that they wanted to buy me lunch. Something to think about, folks. Try to be a little bit more giving. Try to have a little bit more patience. And try to be a lot more obedient. My name is Tony Gambone. I'm here every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. And we got two great guests lined up today, Jeannie Ewing, and Deborah Ling. So we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back and bring Jeannie up, which you're going to find, well, let me just read a little bit of the beginning of this bio. She believes the world focuses too much on the superficial happiness and then crumbles when the sorrow strikes. Think about that. We'll be right back after this here short break.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Join Shalonda, Norman, and Kaneen Morgan every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network for Writers Nation Radio. Writers Nation's mission is to provide a trusted source of information, a dynamic network of writing experts, and writing entertainment for curious and thoughtful writers and authors. Learn more by going to WritersNationRadio.com. Writers Nation Radio, showcasing writers and helping them soar.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. And, hey, this broadcast today is sponsored by TX Authors. Okay, there's a big event coming up April 30th and May 1st here in Austin, Texas. So if you're in the state of Texas or outside the state of Texas and you want to join over 200 authors for a two-day event to learn more about what to do with your book, how to create a book, even turn it into a movie, go to txauthors.com. All right, so my first guest, as I was mentioning, believes that the world focuses too much on superficial happiness and then crumbles when sorrow strikes. Because life is about more than what we make us, because life is more than what makes us feel fuzzy on the inside. She writes about the hidden values of suffering and even discovering joy in the midst of grief. So I'm going to stop right there and welcome Jeannie Ewing to the show. I apologize for your name.
It's Ewing, actually. You know, like J.R. Ewing?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's so simple. I know that, but for some reason I wanted to make sure everybody knew it started with an E.
So, okay. Well, good. I'm glad.
I apologize, Jeannie. Welcome to the show.
You're fine. Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me today.
So I just want to get right to a bunch of stuff, but before we do that, I want to make sure people know where you're calling in from, where you're from originally.
Well, that would be both one and the same. So I am a Midwestern gal. I'm born and raised in Indiana, so I'm very proud to be a Hoosier. And after my husband and I got married, I briefly moved to New Mexico because he's from the Southwest and was working in Los Alamos, at Los Alamos National Lab. So I got a flavor of the Southwestern culture and cuisine, and I loved it, but my heart was back in the Midwest, so was my family, and my husband found a job here in Indiana, in North Central Indiana. So we live kind of halfway between Detroit and Chicago in terms of like a little backwards L, and in the midst of Amish country, actually. So we are surrounded by vast farmlands and, you know, good home family values, which I love. So that is kind of a Reader's Digest version of where I'm from and where I live now.
Well, Jeannie, I think it's awesome that your first statement, we focus too much on the superficial happiness and the feel fuzzy inside stuff. I mean, we all live in that environment. It just, there's no reason to until something comes upon your life that makes you face a reality of where you're at and then learning why you could find joy in the midst of the grief. So
Right. You've
been through that, and I would like for you to share a little bit of your journey, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, just a little bit of a backstory. Growing up, I grew up in a very loving, stable family environment. Both of my parents have been married, I mean, they've been married almost 40 years. Very strong, faithful Christians. We went to church every Sunday, very involved in my youth group. My dad was president of St. Vincent de Paul Society at our parish for a long time. So you were talking about homeless people. That was something that was, I was raised, you know, handing out groceries and taking people grocery shopping or helping them pay their bills. I accompanied my father doing those things when I was a little girl, and that was very impressionable. So my life was, I guess, suffering when I was a child was maybe shielded from me, you know, rightfully so to some degree, that we as parents need to do that for our children. But I think I never really got a huge dose of this really dark place that I think all of us at some point in our lives maybe will encounter until my youngest daughter, Sarah, was born. So we have an older daughter, Felicity, and I had a healthy, normal pregnancy with her. You know, she was a really delightful little baby, and she really was easygoing and everything, very portable. when I got pregnant with Sarah, I also had a very good pregnancy. All of my ultrasounds were normal. I felt fine. Everything, I felt like, you know, everything's going well. And I was really, my husband and I were really excited about our second little girl. And then when it came time for me to give birth to her, and I talk about this a lot in my book, but the birth story surrounding Sarah is very dramatic. And it went from my expectation of welcoming another healthy, typical child into our family into this nightmare that quickly spiraled downward. So I had to face a lot of my fears very fast, one of which was a C-section. And I was not expecting that because I had progressed naturally in labor. I was 100% effaced. I was even pushing and everything, and she just wasn't coming out that way. So I was just frustrated from having been in labor for 23 hours. I was exhausted. None of the medication that they gave me to prep me for this C-section was working, so I had to have a spinal. It was painful, et cetera. So it was like in a matter of maybe 15 minutes, I just felt like I was in this helpless position where my body was just, I just had to relinquish and surrender my body for the sake of my daughter. And I remember feeling like maybe this is how Jesus felt on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because that was really how I felt. I felt totally abandoned in this moment. I was in this very dark place. And so when I was wheeled into the OR and Sarah was delivered by this doctor that I did not know. I'd never met her before. She was the on-call OB. And the room fell silent. And I, you know, here I am being stitched up and I'm in this kind of drug-induced stupor. And my husband is really quiet and the pediatrician comes over and says, do you have genetic disorders in your family? And I said, well, no, why? I had no idea why she'd ask me that. And then my husband saw Sarah and she had little mittened hands. So her fingers were all fused together. Her toes were fused together. She had these buggy eyes and a really pronounced forehead. She had definitely had facial features that were very different, very severe. And no one knew what to say. No one knew what to do. And I was in shock. I thought, what is this? Is she going to live? Is she going to die? I had no idea, no expectation about this. So my husband and I cried together a little bit when we got to hold her privately in the room. But when the doctor came to visit me, this was what I found to be most remarkable. She said, I have delivered babies in the Bronx. She's like, I'm from New York. And she said, and I, you know, I've seen all things. I've seen parents who have children that have, you know, deficiencies, as the world would call it, or whatever. And they just totally abandoned their child in the hospital. And she said, the way you and your husband responded to your daughter, everybody in the OR that day agreed that you either were Christians or you were in denial. And, of course, at the time, I didn't laugh. But now I can look back and think there's some humor in that. But there's also a witness in that. Because I was just responding to Sarah the way it was very natural for me. Why would I not love her? I didn't know if she was going to live a day. I didn't know if she'd live 100 years. I had no idea. But I, in that moment, in a matter of 24 hours, I really had to learn drastically how to trust God when life took a turn that I did not want or expect. And so it turns out Sarah has something called Apert syndrome, which is a rare craniofacial condition that affects pretty much every system in the body, but mainly the visible features that people can tell are the hands and the toes, like I mentioned, that are fused, so they have to be surgically separated. And then there are a lot of craniofacial surgeries that are very complex, very risky. So people with Apert have between 20 and 60 surgeries in their lifetime. And, of course, as I took Sarah to a geneticist and discovered this, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is going to be my life. So that's where the suffering really entered into my life, where I knew that it was just always going to be present in some form or fashion. And I had to wrestle really intensely with the Lord for about 2 weeks, and it kind of reminded me of Jacob wrestling with that dark shadow that was either the angel, you know what I'm saying? And he had to really come to a place of peace, and I did too, because I realized the Lord presented to me two options, basically, when I was kind of wallowing in self-pity for a while. And I did all of this privately when everyone was asleep and I was just kind of convalescing surgery. But the Lord presented to me, he basically made it clear, Jeannie, you can either give up and become bitter and resentful and angry, or you can find purpose in this. You can find my purpose in this. So that's what I chose to do. there was something in me, I choose to believe it's the Holy Spirit, that just really renewed this hope that I had lost, strengthened me. And I just felt like I have to find what God wants from this. There's some plan that he has. And that's kind of what led to my writing.
Mm. So, you know, I'm very amazed at the strength that you developed through this process, because we both know the average person who doesn't have the ability to lean on the Lord might have found a reason right there in that journey to reach out for anything and hold on and be committed to God once they found their way through it. You had a lot of background that allowed you to understand different things that you might have read in the Bible, or, you know, you might have been taught at a younger age. Do you run across people, and your story is just, it's heartbreaking with cheer. I don't know if that makes sense, but very, very heartbreaking, but yet very satisfying to see that you turn something like that into something better and did it through the Lord. And I would assume that you didn't even know what was taking place as it was happening. We always seem to be able to look back down the path and see the oh wow factor in it. But do you meet other women that have gone through, or, you know, maybe not the same experience, because, you know, something coming into our warm and fuzzy world, you know, I don't know how you can describe it, but disaster sometimes seems like disaster, no matter how big or small. It interrupts our daily day. Do you meet people there that you could help focus on getting past that? Or, you know, do you work with people like that?
I think that's a really good point that you make, is that this is not, by and large, how the culture responds to a situation like I had. And you can use, you know, there are myriad situations that people could replace with mine. Divorce, suicide in their family, addiction, mental illness. These are all different life events I talk about in my new book called From Grief to Grace. But I think that's why God chose me, in a way, to be a witness to other people. Because there are so few of us that either identify as a practicing Christian, or really maybe we just question, well, I don't really know if a personal God exists, maybe some obscure abstract the universe kind of new agey thing. And so there's not a whole lot of substance, or there's not that foundation like I had. But I think that's why God asked me to do things like this, or to write, because I can reach people with my story. And it's, in my opinion, a compelling way to show people that there is a personal God who exists, and he's a loving God. Despite the fact that there is this mystery of suffering that we all encounter in life, that he enters into that wound with us, and he carries us through it. And I think that that's part of the reason why this ministry, as you were talking about too, it reaches all these people that we will never know. But there are some people, yes, to answer your question, that have just inadvertently come into my life. And it's almost like ever since I've had Sarah, I've just been a lot more open to the workings and the movements of the Holy Spirit. Because from day to day, I never know. It's always kind of a new adventure. I never know how God is going to use me, or how the people that I'm going to encounter. Sarah is often this little walking testimony too. Because I have to take her to all kinds of doctor's appointments, and we meet strangers all the time, I end up in conversations with people that they initiate about life and death, about the afterlife, about God. I mean, these are people I've never met before and will never see again. But because of Sarah, because she, you can tell that she's different, she looks visibly different, and but she also exudes this joy. So here's that, the joy mingling with that suffering again, right? So she's evidence, she has scars all over her body from her surgery, but she's so loving, and she loves people, and she brings this light to them. And I think that's what opens up people and what attracts them to our family, when maybe they look very burdened, very troubled, and all they have to do is encounter Sarah for like 2 minutes, and suddenly she just reaches into their soul and grips their heart. And then they start talking to me. And so sometimes I build those relationships too, And oftentimes this happens over email or, I mean, I get contacted a lot from people that either read my writing or they hear my interviews on the radio, or even sometimes people that I meet in person, like I just mentioned. And it's about building that relationship. It's about meeting the other person where they are and allowing them, and well, really allowing God to lead, but allowing them to open up their life and what they're going through and their struggles. And then I just stay a part of the Holy Spirit, because honestly, I feel like this, I'm no different than you or anybody else. I'm just this ordinary housewife, and yet I'm trying really hard to be faithful to God's call and how he wants to use me. And so sometimes when we all do that, I feel like very powerful and sometimes permanently life-altering things can happen in people's lives.
It is amazing how the Lord puts us in situations, words in our mouth, allows us to do what we had no idea we were brought here to do. I always just say he has a great sense of humor, because who would have thought, right? And now you have an older daughter, and So how is she with her sister?
That's funny you should ask that, because she very impromptu yesterday wanted to make a video, a very short, it was like a 1-minute video, but she said, I want to make a video and talk about Sarah's apert syndrome. I said, okay. So she did. She just said, well, Sarah's hands look different, her face looks different, and I just said to her, you know, does that mean it's bad? Is different bad? And she said, no, different is good, and we're all different. And then I asked her, what if someone said to you, your sister Sarah has a funny-looking face, which they have said before. And she said, I would just tell them, she just looks different. She's just different than you and me. And so that's kind of the lesson that, and the gift in this too, is that it's really increased my older daughter's ability to empathize with people that are not like her. Where, you know, we encounter a lot of kids that come from typical families, which is, I mean, that's good, but many of them have not been exposed to people that are in a wheelchair or that have a visible difference or a mental illness or maybe struggle with substance abuse, maybe they're homeless. You know, there are so many ways that we are different, all these different colors of people. And I feel like because my older daughter has gone through this journey in her own way and she's seen Sarah in her bandages and in pain, and to her, Sarah is just her sister. But yet she's also becoming aware because of her peers that Sarah is different. And so she's trying to make that connection, but there's this beautiful compassion that I've seen unfolding in Felicity because of the gift that Sarah is to our family.
It's amazing how God brings in more than one teacher in a situation like that. So That's awesome. So time goes really fast on the shows, Jeannie, and I mentioned to you before the show that we're going to get you back on because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. I want to make sure that we touch on, first of all, there's lovealonecreates.com is one of the websites. And the other one, which I want to talk about your book, From Grief to Grace, and two being the number two, fromgrieftograce.com is where they can find out other stuff about. But let's talk about your new book real quickly, how people can find it, what made you do it, and also the next book coming out. I'm sure there's another one.
Yeah, so I actually am working on an ebook called Talking to Your Kids About Grief, and it's very short. It'll be available on Amazon once I get it formatted and published. But the book that you're talking about, From Grief to Grace, that's kind of my magnum opus to date. The intention was really to be kind of a primer for anybody that is swimming in this dark place in their life because of loss. And so I wanted to really dispel the myth that grief is only related to death. And I also wanted to dispel the myth that grief and depression are synonymous, because they're not. So I talked about that in my book, and I also give some examples of possible events of loss that can trigger grief, what it looks like. It's multifaceted, it's very complex, and how do we move through it in a spiritual way? So that is the reason I wrote the book, is because of my own experience. And I wanted to help other people in a more general sense, So people that don't necessarily have a child with special needs, but that maybe they're caring for a parent with Alzheimer's, or maybe they're going through a divorce. And there's so many different examples that I use. So that I wanted this book to be to reach a wider number of people than just my own little sphere of influence.
And you are recognized as a grief recovery coach. You have coaching programs that you work with people on. How can they contact you personally?
Well, through either one of my websites, I have contact information, and also that's where they can find links to buy my books, too. And so I have a background in counseling, and so I just use that to really meet people where they are in their grief, because I know that it's very personal, and some people are angry, and some people are in denial or in shock. And so that's how I reach them, and then we work through it together at their pace to come to a place that, where they want to be. And a place of peace and of acceptance, and where they feel like they can really manage their grief on their own. That's my goal as a coach.
So it's not a one-fits-all program. You kind
right.
of sit down with them and find out where they're at, and you work on what it is that they're struggling with. And for each person, even struggling with the same struggles, there's a different plan of attack.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because we're all different. We all experience pain and suffering and loss differently. So it should be an individual experience. That's how God operates in all of us, too, individually.
Right, right. Well, Jeannie, I just can't thank you enough for sharing what you're sharing with us today and for what you're doing, okay? And, you know, I had the experience of witnessing a miracle for myself when God blessed me with a disease 40 years ago, and it took me 30-some years to be thankful for it. So there's all kinds of things that we go through, but what you're doing is so important, because in today's world, there's so much to grieve over, and there's so much to have self-pity about. And I think that you can be a tool that people can use that will help them get past that, so that they could share their story with other people as well.
Right.
So thank you very much for being on our show today.
Thanks for having me, Tony. I really enjoyed talking to you and your audience.
We're going to have you back. I can promise you that, because there's so much more that there's so much more we haven't covered. So once again, thank you. I sent you an email. I noticed that people can go on your website and they can make a donation to an organization. Okay. And I know that you use an organization for the funding. I sent you an email, some lady that has a Christian-based funding organization called Give, Send, Go. They not only donate, but they pray. So I want you to check it out.
Oh, that's
let
awesome.
Me know what you think. And if you need an introduction, I'd be more than happy to do it. Thank you so much today for being on the show.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it.
All right, folks, we're going to take a short break, come back with my second guest, Deborah Ling, who is a faith-filled Christian that has walked with the Lord for almost 30 years. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this break.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm here every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. We just got a great interview with Jeannie Ewing, and I hope you'll go and check out lovealonecreates.com or from grief the number two, grace.com, from grief to grace.com, and the two is the number two. My second guest is Deborah Ling, and as I mentioned, she has been walking with the Lord for almost 30 years. Two of her books came from the Lord healing her of an abusive past. So I want to waste no more time and bring Deborah up on the show. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. It's good to be here.
It's our pleasure that you take time out to share with our audience. So what I always like to do, Deborah, is find out where you're calling in from and where you're from originally.
I'm a California girl, and I'm calling in from Sacramento.
Awesome. So, you know, I have been following the different stuff that you sent, and there's a lot of things that you've done. And the one most impressive is that you've been walking with the Lord for almost 30 years. Take me on that journey, okay, that allowed you to have that trust to keep that walk going for 30 years.
Well, you know, it didn't start there. I originally was baptized when I was 14 and you know, wanted to be a child of God then. And my mother ridiculed me for being baptized. And so I, of course, listening to my mom, quit church. So it was not until I had turned 30 that I got right with the Lord. And I listened to a lot of faith teachings, like from Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Jerry Seville, and grounded, because they're faith teachers, I got grounded in faith. But like most Christians, when I came into the church, I was wounded. And you know, that's why you find, sometimes you'll find in church that there's people that are not the nicest people like you think church people should be. And it's because our churches are more like hospitals where wounded people come in to be healed. And so after a few years, it was only a couple years of walking with the Lord, it was time, you know, and the Lord walked me through my healing. And that's where my first book came from, was through that process.
Mm.
And that was about 2020. Well, that was in 95.
Mm.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I also was a late bloomer. It took me till I was in my early 50s to find a good enough reason for myself to trust the Lord. And it's been uphill ever since. So, you know, it's been awesome. No complaints here. So I want to talk about some of the stuff that you've done in your books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the healing, you know, you've worked with abused women and seen them heal through the teachings from your books. Tell us about that.
Correct. Well, when the Lord took me through my healing, I documented everything that he had me do. And that was my first book. And then I've taught from my book in like a Bible study settings with other women and seen them be healed. Those that are ready, you know, not everybody's ready today. Sometimes they have to, you know, get closer to the Lord or whatever, you know, that's between them and God. But not everybody is ready today to be healed. But when they are ready, that book will take them through the process. And I also have a workbook that goes with it so that to help them. And it could also be taught in a Bible study setting with a facilitator.
Now, in your Bible study, is it mainly for women or is it mixed?
No, you can't have, in this particular setting, I don't recommend, I mean, you could, but I don't recommend mixing it, because normally if you've got abused women, nine times out of ten, it's going to be men that abused her.
Right.
And the same with men. If men have been hurt or abused, which we know this happens, they're not going to want to open up in front of women because that's who hurt them.
Right.
So in
right,
both
so.
Ways, you know, so it's better to have a one gender Bible study.
I assumed that, but I wanted to make sure that women knew, if they get involved with this, that there is an opportunity for them to get healed. Now, it says your book on submission came through God's teaching where you missed it as your marriage crumbled.
Yes. Yeah,
so,
because when I saw how badly, how much trouble I was in with my marriage, I really drew close to God. Because, I couldn't draw to my husband. And so the closer I got, the more he ministered to me. And he wouldn't even let me say anything, any complaints to my husband or any concerns or anything. He's like, no, you come to me, I'll deal with him. And of course we know God doesn't go against our will. And it came to the point where my husband had just made up his mind that he was done. I have regrets. I'm sorry I didn't do things different. I learned through that time frame, with the Lord, what I should have done and how I should have submitted. And so that's where that book came from. Yeah. Cause I was not a submissive wife. Sad to say.
Well, yeah, and so I through our hurt and our losses and the different things that we struggle with, we find comfort in helping others. So as though it might not have been exactly what you wanted it to be, it seems as though you're able to. I mean, there's a lot of women out there, okay, and not that men don't have the same types of struggles. But there's a lot of women that you can touch and help with that. And had
right.
that not
Absolutely.
Experience have happened for you, then you would have never been able to provide that. So I guess in
exactly.
a way, it's not as bad as you might feel about it. You shouldn't put that guilt on yourself. Anyway,
right.
You have a book on prophetic dance, which
prophetic
was imparted
dance,
to
yeah.
you. When you sat under Don Potter, can you
yes.
explain that? Yeah. Talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Prophetic dance is dance that is led by the Holy Spirit. It's not choreographed by man. It's choreographed by the Holy Spirit. And you only dance in prophetic dance when the Holy Spirit leads you to do so. It's not something you're going to see every Sunday, but, Don Potter is a prophetic musician, and I went to one of his conferences, and his wife was prophetically dancing behind him. And because of the spiritual warfare going on in that conference, she was doing like a warfare-type prophetic dance. And there's different, it depends on what the Lord needs done as to how the dance is led by the Holy Spirit. It's really awesome because, one time the Lord may have you do warfare. The next time he may have you prophetically dancing out and love in the spirit. It could go from one end to the other, anywhere in between. Just depends on what's going on in the service when he has you lead you out. And so that's what I wrote the book about. It's very exciting.
Well, I know that when I first started going to church, someone was doing that,
uh-huh.
and that was at the point in time where I was like, why are people raising their arms up in the air? So it freaked me out a little bit, But as I'm in my seventh year of following the Lord, seventh year, I have become opened to a lot more things. And understanding to a lot more of it. It's just like anything else. We don't know what we don't know. And so
right.
I think that's interesting there. Now, you have another book coming out. It's your testimony mm-hmm. on how you walked in the shoes of the saints, like the apostles, the homeless, and like Philip you were translated, and it goes on. Called as a teacher and a prophet to the church. She jokes that she does not know if she's a teaching prophet or a prophetic teacher. Can we talk
yes.
a little bit about that?
Yeah. In the 30 years with the Lord, I've had a lot of different experiences that are not, your normal everyday walk. One time when I was coming home from conference, it was very, very late at night. I was driving alone, and I had to go over this seven-mile-long bridge. And I used to have this huge fear of heights. And so I'm driving, and I'm tired, you know, and this, and I got attacked. And I literally was fighting the steering wheel from driving me off the bridge. It was probably one of the biggest attacks I've ever been under. And so I started praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, I saw, it's pitch black out, there's no lights, no street lights, no nothing, nobody on the road. I saw this huge white hand come down from above, and it came down to the highway, and it wrote PS91 on the highway, and it kept writing it, PS91, PS91. Well, PS91 was my abbreviation for Psalm 91, which says, they'll fall to your right, they'll fall to your left, but you will not be harmed. And I always prayed that over my car. And I'm thinking, that's right. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, that's right. I won't be harmed. I'm going to get across this bridge. But I'm still speaking in tongues because the fear was so immense. And I'm trying to get my brain to go into gear, you know, and calm myself down. And there's this hand, PS91, PS91. And I followed that hand writing PS91 all the way across the bridge until I got to the off of it. And in Daniel, there was a writing on the wall experience where the king saw the writing and Daniel had to come and interpret it, okay? It's the only time in the Word where the hand of God was seen. And this is what I call my Daniel experience, because he saw the writing on the wall and I saw the writing on the highway. And I've had many experiences like that, like with Philip that was translated. I was translated on the highway again when an object that fell off of a truck was heading for to go under my front bumper, and it would have thrown my car. It would have tipped me over and possibly, you know, harmed me at the least and killed me at best. Or do I have that backwards? Harmed me at best, killed me at whatever.
Yeah,
whatever,
got you.
You know what I'm saying. It would have been bad.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been good. You got that right.
No, not at all. So what? I was in fifth gear going 55 miles an hour, right? So I put my hand on the clutch, or my foot on the clutch, my hand on the stick, and in the twinkling of an eye, I was on the other side of the freeway, at a dead stop. It was just done, and I was in first gear. And I mean, literally, it was a twinkling of an eye. And that thing that had fallen off the truck was in front of me. Now, in the natural, that's not possible. You know, I should have had
right.
to down, you know, do all the things I had to do. And that thing, there's no way that thing could have followed me over had I done that naturally. But it went with me, and it was sitting right in front of my car on the side of the road. The Lord just translated me to save my life.
It's amazing what can take place if you can commit to that trust by
yes.
praying or just speaking to the Lord. A lot of us are too busy to take time out to try to do that. Our intentions might be there, but our commitment isn't. So what do you tell people that say to you, geez, I wish I could do that. Tell me how I could do that.
Well, you know, I place the reasoning behind that in our reasoning, if you will, that I always claim Psalm 91 over my car. Okay? I can give you instance after instance after instance where when I was in my car, something would happen. I'd get an inkling, oh, hit the brake, or take your foot off the gas, or get in the other lane. You know, or whatever, and as long as I followed those feelings or those inklings, excuse me, I would see where it saved me from being in an accident, okay? And I really believe it's because I constantly claim Psalm 91 over my car, and I, in my mind, I see a banner over my vehicle that says Psalm 91, but God knows that's my PS91, you know? And it's always that one verse. I believe it's verse 7. And my paraphrase is, they'll fall to your right, they'll fall to your left, but you will not be harmed. And I claim that. You know, I speak it, I claim it, I believe it, I trust it. And I expect God to hold up his end because his word is true. And I know his word is true. And anything that doesn't line up with that word is a lie. So that's where I always stand. And I expect the Lord to keep me safe.
Mm. I love it. So it's a commitment. And a lot of times, it really is important for people out there that are going, I don't know if I can do that. One of the first steps, I think, is reading your Bible consistently so you understand the value of what's written in it. And then select things that you want to memorize out of it so that you can use that, for instance, Psalms 91, when you're getting in your vehicle. Or it doesn't have to be that verse. It just has to be a verse that connects with you. Anything,
right, one that speaks to you, yes.
Right. As long as it comes from the Bible, you have a better chance of getting understanding from it. So anyway, Deborah, I want to know, what's the next step moving forward, 2016? What is the next step for Deborah Ling?
Well, I have a couple books. Well, the one that you mentioned, Walking in the Shoes of the Saints. And then I have another one that I'm also working on, The Road to Prosperity Devotional. And that's one thing I'm working on. The other thing is I'm doing more speaking here in Sacramento. I'm a president of a Glow Lighthouse, and I speak a couple times a year there and then also through my church. And so I'm just, you know, starting to branch out a little in that respect.
And where can people find your book?
Amazon, of course, but also on Smashwords. Smashwords.com has all my books. And it doesn't matter what e-reader you use because they have all the different versions depending on what e-reader you need it for. Mm. So that's the best place to get it.
And if they want to contact you to speak, how would they go about that?
Either through Skype is a good way to get me, or, of course, an email.
And could you give me your email?
Uh-huh. It's deb.ling2@gmail.com.
All right. Very good. So when you come out with your next book, I am hoping that you will come back and share it with us so we could help market what you're doing. I think it's awesome. I've been looking up as the interview is taking place here. I brought up the Google search for Don Potter and Bill Hammond so that I can learn some more. They're names that I'm not familiar with. And so one of the things that God does for me is he allows me to learn from this show every week because there's always something, whether it's the spiritual connection or the education that comes with getting the spiritual connection. I'm always blessed by this. And I thank you for bringing this information to us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Bill Hammond is who I sat under to be released into the prophetic.
Yeah, so I'm going to take some time out and check that out. I always feel as though if that comes across the show, it's what I'm supposed to be learning. So I might never do anything with it, but I will check it out and learn from it. So I appreciate that today.
Oh, yeah. That's a great ministry that Bill has in Florida. So when I was in Florida, that's when I went there.
Well, so I find, I guess it's ChristianInternational.com is his website.
Correct.
Yes,
it is.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'll be checking him out and hopefully being prepared for when you come back to have more conversation about that.
That sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And you have a great day, and we look forward to having you back on the show.
Thanks, Tony. Have a good day. It's
all
been
right.
Great being here.
Thank you. It's our pleasure. Folks, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how you can connect with Deborah Ling, Jeannie Ewing, and also the sponsor of the show. I want you to connect with TexasAuthors.com. If you're an author in the state of Texas, this will be a good opportunity for you to help market your books. We'll be right back.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone. Great interviews today. Two great guests, Jeannie Ewing and Deborah Lee. This is a great opportunity for you. If you missed the beginning of the show, go back and listen to it. You can go to toughtalkchristianradio.com and find it. Also, you can find the shows on Spreaker, iTunes. Just type it in, Tough Talk Christian Radio, on your search bar, and you'll find us. We want to say big thanks to our guests, because it's guests like this that help us share opportunities and situations that they've overcome or battled through, so that you are able to do the same. I hope that everyone will take time out to find a church near yourself. If you're not a churchgoer, if you haven't found the Lord yet, start checking it out. Visit a couple churches, see what you can find. If you have found the Lord and you haven't been practicing as much as you would like to, take a look in that mirror we talked about in the beginning of the show. Commitment to yourself to either start reading your Bible, visit church, get around some like-minded people, join a Bible study or a small group near you. My name is Tony Gambone. I hope that everyone has an incredibly blessed week. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.